question of, as we set up that office, do we, and we have the technology there, is it a one-time? It is, except when it has to be replaced, so that sort of process. There are other hardware requirements, and I will get for you what part of this is specifically related to that localization process so that you can have that for your...
I'm confused here. Maybe you can explain to me, what's the requirement that kicks in a pop? Is it an increase over the last budget because we had one-time cost here? We've got new initiatives sort of buried in here, but because the total number is sort of less than what it was last time, we're not looking at them as pops, we're looking at them as base. And I'm just curious in terms of, from a budgeting perspective, what is that definition of what becomes a pop and what you roll into base?
It usually, Chair Hill, it usually relates to a significant change in how they provide the service, mm-hmm. and requiring increased expense. If there are capital outlay requirements that require capital outlay classified expenditures and their budget doesn't already build that amount into it, this is probably an example where their base budget was adequate to cover it, and they were not having to ask for additional limitation to cover it, nor did they ask for additional positions or FTE. So, in essence, they didn't meet the threshold for needing a policy option package.
Thank you. Representative Dandridge.
Thanks for that. I guess my question is, what's the legitimate base, and I guess what's not the legitimate base, and I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. I mean, I'm going to assume that your professional trade services you had to use to do part of your upgrade for your new system as well. You know, I'm looking at, I don't know, $1.2 million that, you know, that you were able to absorb in your base to do all these upgrades. And so it's just, I guess, alarming to me that you can spend that kind of money without a policy option package last time. And I feel like there has to have been a shift at some point. So I don't know where you're enhancing in your budget except maybe personnel services or something like that. It's hard to track when we only got this particular piece of budget. But I mean, you know, I see you're increasing $1 million in personnel services, and those are reclassifications. I understand that, but is that commensurate with, you know, a 20%+ increase in wages? I don't know. I can't tell from this particular piece of the budget. So maybe Larry.
I can clarify. Yeah, I think in this biennium, anyway, because of their localization effort and placing these offices out in the local areas, they had a significant number of vacancies. I know that they've also had positions double filled at certain locations because the outward based locations weren't filled. There was some expenditure patterns that were tracking lower than normal. I think that probably freed up some revenue to do some things that they may not have otherwise been able to do. And we'll talk about maybe video conferencing line expenses, whether that was one of those areas where they were able to use money that they otherwise might not have otherwise had dedicated for that purpose. In reviewing their expenditure patterns for this biennium, they're tracking at probably about reverting about $2.5 million back to DHS.
Okay.
In 0103, based on that expenditure pattern and what we've been able to discuss about what their plans are for 0103, it looks like they'll also be able to have a budget that is reduced. LFO's recommendation would be that we reduce the budget by another $1.5 million in 0103. So based on those expenditure patterns, that doesn't answer your question about whether they've, you know, gone off and invested in areas that weren't specifically discussed because their base budget allowed it, but it lets you know that we are at least tracking with expenditure patterns and reducing where appropriate.
Thanks.
And please forgive me if this was discussed while I was in another meeting, but part of my difficulty in understanding your budget is my previous experience in child support enforcement and dealing with budgets on the local level and doing what I could to meet the federal requirements at that time. That was quite a few years ago. So I guess my question to you is, I know that of your total expense, you get 60% reimbursement from the feds.
67.
67 now. You must be doing a real good job. You got some incentives on top of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, the federal match rate at this point, and has been as long as I've been in the program, which is 4 years, by the way, has been at 66, actually. Two for every $1 that the state puts in is $2. And then there are incentives on top of that, but they don't...
Can I ask you to stop? We're going to suspend here. And I'll really check the tape, make sure the tape's going. The standard is.
Computer's not working. This is a high-tech committee.
We have to go back and recreate what we did before, right?
Bring in the typewriter.
Speaking of technology in this building, mm-hmm. I have a visually impaired constituent come and attend a hearing for on a climate issue. And there is no, what was that called, Vern? CCI or CCT?
TDY?
No.
That's the call.
TDY is for hearing, but this is like a huge screen that makes words very big so that the highly visually impaired who do have some sight can read. It's a reader device. It's like a television screen. We don't have one in the Capitol. Maybe an ADA.
Do you think the constituent who has both a senator and a representative on this committee will be able to get something done in that area, wouldn't you?
We'll come back to order here. I apologize. Please continue.
Let me ask my question more directly. Whatever the reimbursement rate is, are we looking at what the state has to pay here or what the total figures are that it costs you to provide the program? In other words, have you factored in anywhere in these figures or provided us with financial data that shows us what happens to that federal reimbursement and how it's figured in the state budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, these are total budget costs. So the costs that you see are two-thirds federally funded, one-third state-funded. To us in the Division of Child Support, they're 100% other funds because all of our funding comes through Department of Human Services, Adult and Family Services Division. The federal funds go there. The appropriation for whatever state funding is also there, and they reimburse us for our costs. So it's at one state dollar for every two state dollars is the bottom line, but for us it's all other fund limitation. So these are your total costs. So if you look at any one of these, if it's $1 million, two-thirds of that is federally funded.
Mr. Chair, this is another one of those situations where we talk about other funds and we forget that those other funds are often general funds, and I don't know if there's a way to ask Rick or something so that we don't lose that in transition, because it's easy to forget. We see this in a number of budgets where we're talking about other funds, but they're real.
If I may follow up, these other funds are federal.
No, I understand the two-thirds are, but they're still showing, as she says, in their budget, they would show at other funds, even the state dollars, because they're coming from DHS.
Makes it kind of hard.
DHS will show it as general funds, but they would be showing it as other funds. And that's where it gets confusing sometimes. We think, oh, it's somebody else's money, but it's general funds.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, another clarification I should make, and I said state funds. As we collect child support, a portion of the child support is goes back to the state as recovery of welfare costs. And so a portion... And in our past, has been 100% of those state costs have been through child support recoveries as opposed to a general fund appropriation. And we're at that line where, because of declining AFS caseloads, we are not bringing as much back to the state and to the federal government through those recoveries as we have in the past. But it is still at least mostly funded, the state contribution to the child support program is mostly funded through child support collection recoveries for to reimburse the state for welfare costs.
Continue.
Okay. We were think it's software and service fees. These are just ongoing upgrades so that, and licenses so that we can run the software that we require to operate.
Are you running DB2 or Oracle? Do you think any of those licenses?
Mr. Chairman, the DHS mainframe runs DB2, and so CSIS, which is wholly contained on the system, runs DB2. So we don't have a cost per se.
Would those lines be in here, or is that a line that DHS is going to show as an other funds coming over as a fee? I'm just trying to understand who actually writes the check for that software. Are you buying the software, or are they buying the software? This is just a category where you're going to ship the funds back over.
Mr. Chair, they pay those costs, and there's not a back and forth at all. We are not writing that check.
So this is software and software licensing that resides within your four walls.
Mr. Chair, that's...
Why the big jump over the base budget that we approved versus what was projected?
Is tomorrow 10:15 to 11 on? Okay, good.
Are we on maintenance? Maybe I should.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were on.
Okay.
We were on software. Sorry. I was already ahead of you on software. On maintenance.
That's good. Let's move along. Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the maintenance, and hang on just.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, just sort of a clarification, I think, there, too. When you say that we budgeted for, that you approved, our budgeting is certainly not to that level of detail on line items for every expenditure within the department. We budget at a much higher level and then are expected to manage within that. So this is not a figure that we brought and said we need $300,000 for maintenance and it was approved and passed on.
So let me ask this question. This is sort of having sat in this building now for a number of sessions, and it's my first time on Ways and Means. I am amazed to find that, you know, when we say we're going to need to go buy hardware, many agencies don't know what they're buying, and they're going to go and divide, you know, the cost of a PC into the number that in their budget to figure out how many they're going to buy, rather than on the backside saying, I need this, let me budget that, which doesn't give me a lot of confidence that we have planning going on the front end of this to sort of say, this is what I need to meet my critical mission, and, you know, and it's just simply, I'm going to roll it up, and then I'm going to go and divide find out what I can buy on the backside.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, where does IR&D come into this, play on this? It seems to me, I mean, I thought their role now was to be monitoring major purchases and things like that, too.
These are not sure of major purchases.
Yeah.
$1.2 million wasn't a major purchase last biennium.
Senator Duncan, I'm hopeful that we'll be moving issues that will address these very issues in terms of what you can get.
Well, I think along that same line, Mr. Chair, my guess is if I'm not attacking your agenda, I'm just looking at it from a bigger picture here, that, you know, we might be able to be doing a lot better in purchasing power and everything else. You know, I think of the number of agencies we've been seeing already buying PCs. Well, if you're buying PCs on a much bigger quantity, that's going to change your prices too, assuming you like. So it seems like we're sort of leaving it to everybody to do their own thing.
Well, okay. I mean, that's one of the things that Representative Patridge and I are working on, that we will be introducing to address that, to give you some broad total numbers here. The state is spending about $44 million a biennium on desktop systems,
mm-hmm.
and that equates to maybe between 30 and 40,000 PCs that we are moving onto the system, which is a significant issue, and that's just because they have buying contracts, but they don't have, there's no coordination in that. There's pre-negotiated contracts, and so it's better prices by the get on the street, but sometimes not. We don't know how these systems are being integrated, whether the agencies are taking care of managing the assets, like software licenses, to know that I'm getting rid of one PC, but I own already the software licenses, so I don't need to rebuy the software licenses of a new PC coming in the door. And those things. So you use some asset management issues there. And so we're working on a strategy to try to address that. And I think in terms of it, through this process as we go through, that near the end of this session, we should be able to come back and have a figure where we could come over and apply over the top of these lines and have a strategy we know of where the savings might come from that we could apply across the board, which doesn't affect the ability of anybody to get the assets they need. It's just looking
at the not trying to hamstring them at all, but just trying to, in fact, they'll benefit the long run too. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Geronimo Tagatac, Gas Information Resource Management Division. Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan, let me say that once the legislature has approved a budget, which includes the IT budget, an agency is not home free at that point. At certain levels, and the standard, the threshold now is at $125,000, whether it be for personal services contracts or hardware or software or goods and services, they're required to come through DAS IRMD. And we look at those information resource requests, as they're called, and we ask what the reasons for this are. You know, has the agency looked at its options? And generally, those are three: leave things as they are, try to do something to upgrade what is currently there, or replace. And they usually have to have a decent reason for replacement. Beyond that, agencies are required to go through the state contract, and the prices are pretty decent.
Okay, well, Mr. Chair, he may have sort of answered my question at the end then. I'm saying then you do, are you doing cooperative or mass buying then that would cross over agencies right now?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan, yes, we do. We have state price agreements on laptops, on PCs, as well as software for that matter.
I just wondered what requires a policy option package to come forward in an agency budget for technology? What's the threshold amount in hardware and software and outside consulting services?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, we usually don't have a threshold for a policy option package. Usually, and I think your staff would agree with me here, that a policy option package is something that it's a request for expenditure limitation that is beyond the current services level budget, and very often that's driven by, say, a federal mandate to do something or a caseload increase or something that is often beyond the agency's control. Now, within that policy option package, in order to accomplish that goal, they will have an IT component that makes that possible.
Let me follow up to that. Then, as we go through and we're reviewing these budgets, how do we pull back out one-time expenditures so they don't roll back into current service level? And without looking at this in terms of, we've got some major shiftings among some of these subcategories in terms of where when you look at the bottom figure, it doesn't change that much, but some of these swings are significant, some of these line items that make up the total of these, which in and of themselves would be a policy option package, but because the bottom number didn't change, there's no review of this.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, one of the things that we have done in cooperation with the Budget and Management Division on the current budget instructions is to require agencies that are going to use a substantial amount of their current services level budget, and by substantial amount we usually mean $500,000 or more, and this is especially used to track fairly large IT projects within their current services level budget, and they have to report that on a form that is in the budget, and that's something new for this biennium.
None of these hit that category.
As far as I know, Mr. Chairman, no. as I think the agencies testified, in some cases, those continued costs represent replacements of existing equipment as they come due inside the biennium. And then where you see decreases, those are one, as in the case of Child Support Division, these are things which were implemented, and then they're no longer needed. You maintain them, you replace them as is needed, and so you're likely to see a decrease there.
If I could clarify, too, in response to Representative Patridge's question, how do you separately identify them? In my experience with LFO, the best thing that we can have is both budget committees, or in this case an IT committee, clearly state their intentions and their recommendations as to when they approve a funding package to say what portion of that funding package they consider to be one-time costs. We'll make that a matter of record in the budget report, and then when we're developing the current service level budgets and subsequent biennium before the next session, we'll make sure that we comply with that legislative direction. Not in all cases, the base budget has not been rolled back. We look for those in the interim and try to identify as many as we can. If it's happened over several biennia, it's possible that it hadn't been caught and it's part of their base budget. When the budget is presented to the legislature, there are several categories that IS expenditures are captured in. There isn't one line item where you can go and find everything. You'll find them spread through telecommunications, data processing, professional services, expendable property, other SNS supplies, and then in the capital outlay, depending on the nature of the expense. So it's a little bit hard to put them all in one place unless you have this kind of presentation as you do today.
So as a further question, I know we're putting in a new budget system, or budget management system. DAS is putting in. They did have a policy option package, I think, on that. Is there a way to track some of these? Are we going to track some of these expenses? Is there a better way to track these expenses in the new system?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, I'm probably not the person who could answer that question best because I'm not the expert here on what is called the Orbit system and its details. But I will find that information if you'd like me to.
We'll try to get an answer to that, and let's move on.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Oh, we have a DAS person in the audience. Maybe you can answer. How do we keep track of the one-time expenditures?
He's an analyst. He's not the task. I ask him.
Mr. Chair, Senator E., a lot of one-time expenses are identified in the budget report, and that's how we capture those. And I think maybe in the future we need to do a better job of mentioning these in the budget report. And also, we will check with the Orbit people to see if there's anything in there and that can be done in the system. And we'll get back to you with that.
Perfect. Okay. What I'm interested in doing is looking at more asset tracking, asset management kind of piece as part of the Orbit system, or maybe there's something in the current system that we've got that's asset management tracking piece. Is there availability, Larry or Satish, do you guys look at some kind of capital, what the agencies write off and write on in terms of capital? I mean, that's how we're going to catch some of these. That's how you catch some these roll-ups.
We, Chair Hill and Representative Patridge, we do look at what their budgeted capital outlay expenditures are and whether they're ongoing in nature or one-time. However, not all of them are ones where we see that in the context of an IT plan to know if it's a 3 or 4 year cycle, whether it's been clearly justified with IRM. I mean, there's some disjointed process that I think can be enhanced.
Mr. Chair and Larry, I guess one concern I have, and I don't have any idea on the answer on this, could this come back to whiplash a little bit? And I understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to track one-time expenditures. So, and yet, in this whole world of technology, it really is an ongoing thing. I mean, it's going to be an ongoing thing. And could you, with term limits and kind of re-educating people all the time, I'm wondering, you come in with new packages. I can hear them say something. We don't want any new packages this time. The budget's down. So you could get caught up because it isn't in your base budget, and yet it is kind of an ongoing kind of thing. So I don't know. I just raised that question. Is that a caution we need to watch as we talk about this?
Chair Hill and Senator Duncan, I believe there is a balance that we have to achieve there, because not all of these expenses, even though they appear to be one-time, are in fact one-time. Mm-hmm. There is system maintenance charges. There are things where PCs break down. They have to be replaced, whether they're on a schedule or not, when they need to be replaced. There are certain expenses that they need to be able to absorb. And if they're truly all taken out as one-time, then they'd have to re-justify them every 2 years. And there are good sides and bad sides for that. I think there should probably be some threshold which you allow them to manage a small amount so that they can have some predictability, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. In the case of PCs, you know, whether it's a policy decision whether you want to actually have them in their base budget enough to maintain a four-year cycle, for instance, or whether you want them to come back every 2 years
yeah.
and get the money for that four-year cycle every 2 years.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. About an hour ago, I asked a question relating to professional and trade services and training and the disparity between the 9901 and
the
03. Oh, we're still yeah. cranking through it. I thought
you were on maintenance. You haven't quite got to maintenance yet.
Excuse me, but I kind of thought that we were winding down.
No. We're just getting started.
Okay.
Drink more coffee.
Is there anything?
If you could, let's go back up and try to answer the maintenance question.
And maybe I can try to move through this quickly. On maintenance, I think Sue mentioned that the information and history that we sometimes are budgeting from isn't as accurate as an accounting, you know, that is where it's a dollar for dollar, but budgeting. And this simply, the 315 that you see in our base 40103, is just the inflation on top of the cost of the 307. I don't mean an inflationary factor, but it is just simply continuing the maintenance costs that we have indeed experienced this biennium on our regular, our equipment and so forth. So I can find out specifically why, maybe give you some history of what the 181 was. But we are.
Can you sort of explain what the nature of the maintenance was? I'm assuming that we fixed it so that the nature of maintenance are these.
As to the best of my knowledge, and I will see if there's anything else here, that maintenance has to do with the maintenance contracts that we have on some of the equipment, that sort of thing, where it's just that we have agreements that if certain things go wrong, you've got somebody can come in and pay for it. Jim?
Mr. Chairman, I think we talked about some the other day. There is indeed the maintenance that is carried on such things as the networking equipment, the routers, switches, as well as service agreements for major software that gives us telephone support, plus other kinds of maintenance on other forms of software that would give us the upgrades and, as well as the support. So over that array of hardware and software and networking gear, and I think that you know, they've, as you can see, they've brought in with DAS some of the video conferencing gear, and so they have some fees involved in that as well.
Okay, so and we distinguish between service fees and maintenance agreements. So in terms of, because we've got software and service fees in terms of reviewing software up in the line above, and then maintenance, for our purposes, we can distinguish it as hardware. I'm just trying to get a sense
yeah.
here.
Mr. Chair, I think if I can clarify a little bit, and I think Larry touched on it here, we budget by the categories that are in the budget category, expendable property, telecommunications, data processing. When we were asked to break this down, we had to go back through those and back also through our accounting records to try and find out in expendable property who did we pay to, what was the expenditure. So what we have done is create this based on the categories you were looking for. There's not a direct budget category on any of these items. And as I understand, there's a lot of agencies that aren't very happy with us for having presented it to you in this way, because it's extremely time-consuming and difficult to go back into the budget system and pull them out into these kinds of groupings for you. So if we hesitate as to, we think this is what's in here, it's because these are not the categories by which our expenditures are tracked.
Mr. Chairman, we'd have to clarify it for you if that breaks out the way you noted. The service fee thing also could be there, like software these guys use that allows you to access credit bureau records, and so those service fees could be using that software you bought, but actually hitting against their mainframe to get the data that you need.
You made up the categories, so I'm just trying to find out the definition of it.
I know, and so were we. As we came across expenditures, where should this go?
Okay, let's go on. Let's data line.
Okay. Data lines, the first line are just is the lines that get the data from one place to another across the state. And
it would be characterized as frame on the frame network.
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Yes. This was as you requested to show our direct.
Why don't you bring a chair up here?
I'm like kneeling before you.
It's not fun.
As you requested, we did try to pull out the DAS charges that we pay, and so the data lines are, in fact, referencing the frame relay connections.
And you have a second line here, video conferencing line cost.
And I had tried to catch this in an earlier version to say services. It's a service agreement that it is a special network service that DAS provides, so it's not accurately, the line costs are probably a part of it, but it's actually that video conferencing services that we're buying from DAS.
Probably no increase other than current service level. It's just a matter of where you've drawn that.
You're increasing the level of service?
Mr. Chair, yes. In the case of video conferencing, we have just installed conferencing equipment across the state. These are new charges, and it's not just line charges, and it's important to make that distinction because this is one of those enterprise services that DAS provides. We've worked with DAS for almost 2 years in the planning and preparation of this, and now this is an ongoing cost that we will have to support that video conference.
And what's the nature in terms of it? Is it just facilitating meetings amongst
Mr. Chair, it is for facilitating meetings. It's also we are localizing all of our different services. So for training, rather than having staff travel, being on the road and have downtime as far as productivity, we'll be able to provide training over the video conferencing. And we had a cost benefit. This went through a complete planning process that would show that in fact it'll help us increase just the time at the desk, so that we can increase our productivity and meet that. I showed you that our caseload is increasing. We're not requesting any new staff. That's one of the ways we can meet that.
So let me ask this question. Is there a reduction somewhere else as a result of this? As you said, you did the thing and it's cost effective, which I think it is. But I see the travel line item didn't change significantly. And is it on the other side? And travel, that we're going to reduce the cost of using DAS cars and to travel to move people around the state?
Mr. Chair, you are seeing only the IT budget, and you would see some less travel, definitely. But what you would also see is that instead of having us request additional staff to meet that workload increase, we're able to use the existing staff. They're at their desk, so it isn't a reduction. Unless you look at the fact that there's not a policy package before you asking for more positions.
Okay.
And travel is pretty steady. I don't think this is travel to support the needs around the state, and we also work with the district attorneys and where we are going to be in a location anyway. Help to support that. Services and supplies, this is really just inflation, what's going on there in terms of our costs of services and supplies. Professional and trade services, this is one that you see a significant difference. During this biennium, and of course you know we had that thing called Y2K. Y2K was not in our budget because that was in DHS, and we you know, they worked with us, but they had that responsibility. But as a result of all of the efforts that were going on, we were unable to hire and fill all of our positions in order to get the CSIS certification completed. So we had contractors to come in and to do that. And the way we funded that was that we had positions we couldn't fill and vacancies, and we used that vacancy savings. So it wasn't a package, but we used the vacancy savings in order to be able to fund contractors to come in so that we could meet the certification requirements by the date in which we had to do that. And if we hadn't been certified, we would have been subject to significant federal penalties, and not only lost to us, but also to AFS.
How many positions made that up?
How many positions in terms of savings?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'll find out.
Because I'm just curious. So, where are those positions now?
Mr. Chair.
Use them.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, we'll give you sort of a more background on that. This was during that time when IS people could make a lot more going to contractors, and so agencies across the state had difficulty filling IS positions, and so this is primarily IS positions, and we've now been able to restructure those a little bit and fill more of those positions. So while they were vacant during the beginning parts of this biennium, they aren't. Or not as many of them are at this point, but I will get more detailed data for you on that.
Cindy, is this a possible explanation for how you might be able to absorb the increased personal services expenses? I mean, your base is $5 million now, and there were significant expenditures down here projected for 9901, but they're significantly reduced in 0103. Is that because you're moving away from those contract services and back to filled positions?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think they were able to do that.
Training, the training expenditures are going up. We are expecting, as we go to a new network operating system, we need to do some training of our IS staff so that they can, in fact, do provide the services that we need. And so this is the base sort of training plus that training that's required so that they can support a new product. That's the one piece that I know that's there. There are probably some other smaller pieces, but that's the main difference. Other services and supplies is basically just the inflation, and finally rent is just what it's going to cost us to maintain the location where we have these folks. So if you look at the bottom of this page, the DAS cost we have here, $727,997. That's a combination of the the data line and the video conferencing line and services costs. So those are the costs that we are paying to DAS. The technology costs line item at the bottom just shows that it's the total of all of these, excluding personal services, that we are reducing from a projected actual of 3.8 to 3.2. in 0103 for the reasons that we
mentioned.
Okay. The following three pages are some information for you to give you an idea of what we accomplished and expect to finish accomplishing this time, and projects that we're working on for next year. And I can go through those quickly if you have any questions. You'll see the list of projects that were completed in 9901. Or will be completed, and Y2K conversion is there. Those dollars are in DHS budget, not in DCS or DOJ budget. I've mentioned CSIS, the child support system. We completed that. We were certified, passed the federal audit. Internet child support program procedures. These are procedures that are now accessible by our customers, by the DAs, and by our folks across the state. Training programs also on the internet, accessible across the state. DAs need this, as well as our offices, for training new staff and training existing staff as well.
Who are you hosting on it?
Pardon me?
Who are you hosting the services?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, that's on our own server.
At Department of Justice.
At Department of Justice. in the PERORA, you see that PERWRA, it's spelled out for you, was another federal act that required legislatively for us to make changes to our system, and we are working on completing those changes and expect a federal audit in May, a visit by the auditors in May to certify that we've completed those changes. Video conferencing, we have talked about phase one is complete, and phase two, which is four more installations, will be done and completed before the end of the biennium. And then another one of the internet applications is a guideline calculator. And let me just tell you, guidelines, there are in our rules, we have a set of guidelines that tells us how to, what amount, if you work through it, an obligor, non-custodial parent should pay for child support, given their situation, and it takes into account both parents' income. And this would allow people to use that to get an idea of.
Did you have a conversation with dads about hosting these services?
Mr. Chairman, DAS does host the Department of Justice website. DCS started out as working with DHS because of the child support relationship, and at a later point they took over operation of that server themselves. So the answer is yes, we do, and no, we don't. Department of Justice, aside from DCS, is working with DAS and is being hosted on a DAS server.
So
DCS is doing it independently.
Just for my edification, is this an NT server or a Sun server? What is it?
Mr. Chairman, NT servers.
And then is this integrated to any back office functionality, or is this all standalone?
Mr. Chairman, as an internet server, we intentionally keep anything on it very minimal. And so it primarily holds this plus some of the more routine, just here's what the child support program is. So,
you could go to the back of a pickup and take it over to the government data center and host it there.
Yeah. It could be done, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So I'm just curious now what the cost, associated costs you have built into the budget to support the firewalls to firewall off that server over at the Department of Justice, or is that part of the firewalls that you've got in the other part of the budget?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the server as it sits is sitting not inside the firewall. I mean, it's out there, and so that's why we keep it minimally configured so that it can be rebuilt in short order if it needs to. So the firewalls actually keep, we want to keep the public access pretty much outside of our firewalls.
Right.
So that satisfactory answer. Did I get there?
You're part of it. I understand.
May I ask a question, Mr. Chairman? Your internet guide calculator, is that software acquired from the feds or from any particular source, or do you develop it yourself?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, it is not acquired from anywhere else. The guidelines are specific to Oregon. Each state is required to adopt guidelines, so it's and we review them and revise them every 4 years. And then revise the guidelines calculation.
Do you recoup the costs of this product by charging family law lawyers and others for the software, or do you provide it free to practitioners?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, we do not charge the use of it. This is, in terms of having it on the internet, is new, brand new. In the past, we've had the worksheets that were available to anybody, along with the rules that are in OAR, and there was at least one developer out there who put together software package on a floppy disk and sold that to various family law practitioners. But it's a service that we provide so that not only those who the family law attorneys and so forth, and judges, but also the parents can go in and do at least an initial estimate of what they might owe or what they might receive, depending on which side they are.
Follow-up question, if I may.
Well.
Thank you. Okay, supposing the legislature in the middle of, you know, you've already got this thing set up, and we change the policy regarding the components or how something should be calculated. Is it easy for you, or do you have to start over and incur a whole bunch of expenses to fix that?
Mr. Chair,
is this flexible program?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, we've set it up so that we have the internal expertise. You don't have to redo the whole thing. And having, in fact, having it on available through the Internet means that we do it in one place, and we don't have to then, every time there is a change, whether it's legislative or by rule, you know, and there are a variety of times that those kinds of changes might be made, that we don't have to then distribute to every office a disk or whatever. You just make the change in one place, and you know that everybody has the current information, and not something that is updated.
Mr. Chairman, I think that probably the most used documents, the most used piece of software the state has to be the child support calculator. It is used every second of every day, probably around the clock, as ordinary people struggle with that and as the courts and the family law practitioners struggle with that. And if they have got it on the net, then that is certainly a step in the right direction that this committee must truly applaud, because that really does make government accessible for people.
Yeah, the key is to let people know that it exists.
Well, they'll find out. If you've ever had to deal with those papers and do the calculation on your own, you will turn to anything to avoid it.
Sure. I just want to go to your IT budgets real quick, and I'm trying to do just a real quick little comparison. My understanding is that you have 38 people in the child support division for IT. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And my understanding is in DOJ, you have how many people?
17.
I didn't catch that from you.
17. Mr. Chair.
Are those the child support workers, the actual caseworkers?
No, we're talking about information technology people within the Department of Justice that serve the legal side. There are seven of
them.
And then,
if I may just attempt to clarify, Mr. Chairman, I think the biggest difference you see there is these mainframe people. And if you went back several years, those were all held within AFS and DHS and were shifted some time back over to the DOJ.
Okay. But can I finish my line of questioning just real quick? How many users do you have? I see you have 588 FTE in the child care division, but how many are they all users?
Yes.
Okay, and then how many users do you have on regular, in your regular DOJ?
Mr. Chairman, average 620, I believe, is a
okay, so I guess my question is I understand you have federal mandates and all kinds of other things for your child support division, but I think you're running pretty much a single system and database there predominantly, and you have your IT staffing ratio is almost double in the child care division versus your staffing on your Department of Justice side. And I understand that there is a mainframe as well in the child support division. But that certainly seems like a high ratio of IT staff. I think it's, I think I calculated on rough calculations in the child support division was 15 to 1, and your 30 to 1, pretty much, in regular Department of Justice.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, 2 points. One is that those numbers would say either we're high or they're low in terms of the legal divisions. The other thing I think is important to point out is that the staff in the mainframe area, and that's why we didn't include it in our ratio that we showed at the bottom of the page, talked about the structure, is that 60%+ of their time is spent directly on federal mandates and the programming related to that, not on support to, in the normal sense of, that we're talking about in the land environment to the users. So there is, I mean, we did talk about those requirements. It is significant, and so that is something to consider.
Well, how many of these people are doing support versus development? So I mean, I think you're done with the development. You just indicated that.
Okay.
So,
Mr. Chairman, are you speaking specifically to the CSIS?
Well, I don't know what I'm speaking to, because you said there's ongoing development.
Yes. To the CSIS part, there are continuously new regulation changes that are being put on them, and that's why this 67% of the time. Overall, I know the manager in that section reported to me within the last couple of weeks that they had on hand something like 400 change requests in total for revisions to the application. And the same is certainly true on throughout the agency. I mean, we do not have static systems. We have systems that we intend and put a lot of effort into meeting the business needs of the department, and those aren't exactly static. And once you get one thing done, there's something else to go on to. And once you finish a couple of those, often we have to go back to the first one and do some more spruce up on that.
I just want to say, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, I manage an IS department too, and you're always going to have tons of requests because people are going to want to have things do different things all the time. But at some point, from a management standpoint, you say, well, you're just going to have to wait. And my concern is here, if they're spending 60% of their time on new development, you're still staffing really, really
high. Are these programmers?
Well, here's the list of them right here.
I'm just trying to understand in terms of we got 38 people and we've got, you know.
I just need to clarify, if I may, Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, that 60% number was these federal requirements that needed to be, were stipulated upon us, so they weren't necessarily new things, a combination of new and
I have a question to IRMD. Drama, part of what I was interested in doing was trying to figure out where we're at state government in terms of, you know, what DAS IRMD, and I've requested this, and fortunately or unfortunately, you'd happen to be the first agency who landed here. Maybe you want to go back. but I think you can hear what my concern, I think you understand what my concern is. Is there a staff, you know, and I understand there's more intensity in database management. Does DAS IRMD go back and look at these? I mean, I understand why they may need some more people on the mainframe side, but still they're staffing, 25% higher than in just for their local area network that in the division than they are at Department of Justice. And Department of Justice runs a lot of complex systems, and they're getting into everyone else's system because they're providing advice to all these people. And so I would imagine that their land support on the regular Department of Justice side versus this versus the child care division may be even more complex, yet the staffing is 25% higher. Can you maybe provide some guidance for how you guys look at that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, DAS-RMD doesn't at this point have a set model or a template. Often it depends. I mean, the way to get at this, I think, would be to go through and run a survey of all agencies and say, okay, what are your staffing levels and what kinds of IT models are you using? Are you local area network shops? Are you a mix, or are you strictly mainframe shops? Are you a mixture of both, which is often the case with medium or sized or large agencies, and come to an idea as to what the average is. But I don't know that there is one template. We certainly don't have one, unfortunately, Representative Petridge.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petridge, I have attempted in trying to put together budgets and trying to get some benchmark data to make those requests, and I have talked to the number of agencies to try and find out what their kinds of ratios are and those types of things. It's all across the board. I can find no consistency, and so we've and at times been looking for benchmarks, industry benchmarks of some kind to be able to use, but I don't think that what you're going to see here is unusual at all.
Well, I guess I'm just looking just at the Department of Justice here. On Monday, we heard that we were going to have two people show up, new bodies show up to install 235 PCs, you know, in the space of about 3 months. Calculated that out at about 8 or 9 PCs a day per person, plus convert the other 400 over to a new operating system and with a new email system. We've got 7 people sitting over here maintaining existing PC applications. I've got 8 people meeting federal requirements, which I don't know what that means, and then we have 7 people managing the WAN and security systems. This is just the Department of Justice. We don't even have consistency within the Department of Justice.
Correct.
And I guess the question is, where is the consistency in the Department of Justice? And why haven't we merged these two groups together to meet the requirements across the department? I mean, it sort of begs that question, do you need these other FTE on the other side, you know, and we can figure out how we pay for these things, you know. We've got 23 people sitting over here. I mean, you can't tell me that you need 7 people to manage the wide area network.
Mr. Chair, let me clarify. Those don't go across. They aren't the numbers that you see under resources are the total resources to do all these things. They aren't for each one of these items across. So, for instance, associate the number with whatever it's lined up with is one thing. I just wanted to clarify.
They don't add up to the bottom.
Pardon me?
They don't add up down?
They add up and down. They don't go straight across. So three in one column isn't related to the tax.
Right. These are just the total numbers that do all of these things. The other thing is that one of the benefits that the Division of Child Support has enjoyed is that with the federal match of 2/3 and federal funding for 2/3 of these positions, of the cost of these positions, we at times have had more flexibility in terms of meeting needs. Now, I'm not saying we went beyond what we needed than the rest of the legal divisions have been able to do, because the pressure at the state level with budgets has less impact on the Division of Child Support because of federal funding.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, as you know, the Department of Justice legal side is supported by the legal funds or the legal charges that we make. Costs such as this, which are simply costs and associated with it, drive up the rate. And so for many, 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 many years, there has been no money put into this because it would drive up the rate, and we have not had the funds available and have had to make do with what we've had. Like I say, it's the first time we've put in a package, and we've been negotiating on what that means to the legal rate that's charged to the other state agencies.
Yes, I can confirm that in budget negotiations. This package, which is about a $1.4 million package, is, you know, in effect about a $2 impact on the rate. So we're dealing with making significant, considering significant proposals to reduce that rate. And at every
every biennium, the rate charged, since it has a statewide impact, it's a lot of downward pressure. So I think what you're seeing is some of the byproduct of the budget process and their ability to run a lean shop.
Well, my question is this, is in terms of when we consolidated these
dedicated funding.
I understand that, but we should be able to apply in terms of percentage of the dollars, in terms of, if, four people have extra cycles, we could pay for 40% of their cycles with the other pot of the money and account for it versus, and then that means that 60% goes to the savings on the general fund. I appreciate in terms of the federal stuff, but we can at least sit here and say, are all 23 people working full time? There's no extra cycles there that can, if we were to shift and say we consolidate these two and we manage the resources from a single point rather than in a silo within the Department of Justice, can we sit there and where you sort of get what you're asking for, but it makes the most sense.
Mr. Chair, well, that's something that we would certainly have to look at. We've talked about ways we can make the most of. Obviously, we also have some problems with split locations. We're all over the city, and would like to be able to. We think there could be some economies if we could eventually get it.
I guess my question is, could you come back? We're not going to move the bill today. Any recommendations today? We're going to have to do it Monday. We have till Monday. Can we go and look and see what the impact of this would be?
Can you clarify again what it is?
On the one side of the house over here, you're asking for 4 FTE or 2 FTE or something. I'm just curious if there's any cycles over here. Say we can go and reimburse cycles out of this pot.
So you're talking about can actually use the child support people, but pay for them out of the legal funds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no idea what these people are doing. And that's a question. If you were to look at managing those resources as a single resource and then saying that this is the percentage of time they're going to be over in this other pot, we just pay for a part of the head, there's a reduction over here, and you get the resources you need to accomplish what you need to do. There just seems to be an awful lot of people there.
I did that once when I had similar budgetary responsibilities in the DA's office, and the paper trail that the federal government requires on personnel that share split duties between the child support department and another department, let's say the sheriff's office, it was just about World War II. It was a very, very difficult process to do. So I want to know if there would be an additional cost because of the record-keeping burden the feds would impose.
That's all part of the – I don't know if it works or not.
Yeah.
Let's go back and ask the question. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
It could work. But there will be some hidden costs there.
Representative Passage.
And this is good. I think that Tim's got a good idea, but it still begs the question for me, what's the proper IS staffing ratio to get some things done? I know that there can't be a plug number for any organization. There are some industry standards and things like that, but I can't resolve, but it's very difficult for me to resolve that, the easy response is to say, well, we don't have enough on the regular Department of Justice side and we really need 5 more. That's one answer. I don't know what the answer is, but based upon how you guys have presented the budget, it's totally bifurcated, for how it works. If we cut some of your IS staff on your child care division side, then a third of that is general fund money, state general fund money. Can we use that to backfill the necessary positions you need on your other side? But that's what I look at as someone who's been involved in the budget this time and last time, and I can't tell based on the budget. I know that my IS director who works for me is always asking for staff. Well, I have this, you know, I have these 50 things that people want me to do. And I said, you know, I gave them person and the rest of the people, I just said, you have to wait. You know, what's the reasonable piece to get there? And I guess I can't tell, and DAS doesn't sound like they have anything, so maybe that's something we have to ask for during the interim, is to look at some IS staffing ratios, if DAS doesn't have any guidelines or anything. I mean, I don't know how the governor's office and DAS makes the decisions on where they're going to invest IT dollars across the spectrum of state government if you don't have some kind of guideline, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I understand the question that we will be responding to. I will let you know that in terms of the child support program, the need is not driven by our IS staff. We have, the system is used by the district attorneys as well as all of our program staff, and we have constant frustration from the users that the things that would help them be more productive can't get done because we focus first on the priorities of the federal requirements and then on the other things, and there are federal requirements both at the mainframe level as well as the network, the local area network. So it is, we converted during this biennium, as you saw, some positions from our line staff to the IS staff in order to meet those needs, figuring that by increasing the resources that we had to do this support, that we would get some of those things done so that the productivity on the other side, we would start seeing that productivity increase on the other side to manage to our program, the caseload increase. So there are a variety of interactions here, and we interface with AFS, DHS, services to children and families, all of these things that have to be maintained anytime there's a change in one of those systems. We have to be sure that we're still getting the information because our cases are referred from, you know, Oregon Youth Authority and all of that, that so that we can do the work that our mission has said we need to do.
I guess I understand that, Mr. Chair, but but still the local area network thing just by itself doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, you have a 20% just to manage your local area, and I can, on the mainframe side, I can understand part of it, but on the local area network side, you have a 20% more people in your child care division than you do in your other division, and I think the tasks are probably less complex. That would be my guess. In your local area network on your child care division side, than your Department of Justice side. Now maybe I'm wrong, but I've been over there. I know a lot of people. You know, we've interfaced with the system.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, let me say that while DAS doesn't have an overall template for determining IT staffing levels statewide, what we did in this case, what I did was to look at the requested staff, look at the number of users, go to the people who are in our network operations unit and say, is this level of staffing reasonable? Does this make sense to you, given the number of users, given the kind of system? And their answer was in the affirmative, and that's why we were supporting.
The question is, did they say this is too low on the Department of Justice proper side versus, I mean there's a huge disconnect here between the numbers of bodies and the number of support, and whether, I mean, maybe from an application standpoint, you can make all these justifications, but, you know, it sort of begs this question now that I'm starting looking at these range of levels. You know, you've asked on one side for some IS5s to come in and do help desk, and you're going to take the IS1s, you know, to go off and do the work. And, you know, do we have consistency within the Department of Justice on the classifications doing the same levels of jobs, you know, which then it concerns me from a perspective. And we've already heard that the Department of Justice is sort of the training ground, and they flee to other agencies, you know, and that doesn't help support the mission here to provide this level of service. And, you know, my frustration is we've got two silos in one silo, and how do we figure out a plan? And maybe we can't do it in this context here, but I'm getting the sense that you better plan on it because you're going to be back in the interim to answer the question of how you consolidate these two together to gain efficiencies, which will help across the agency. Does that work?
Perhaps we ought to get our congressional delegation to petition the feds to back off on some of the requirements that take 60% of our workers' time, the technology workers. If the nitpicky parts could be identified.
Well, and then, well, I guess it sort of begs the question, if that's the case, and I go and I take that and say 60% of a $5 million personnel line item, I mean, we're tracking projects over $500,000, you know, but yet we're spending, you know, $3-4 million essentially supporting a system which is ever changing, and from a JLMTC perspective, that's a significant project that we would normally track that we're not getting any updates on in terms of the changes. And so from a perspective of understanding the investments and the changes which are being driven and the requirements and the underlying changes that will be then reflected in the budget to support those requirements sort of disappear. And so, I mean, so that's another level of concern that I have, is that how we're tracking which projects, you know, we've declared it done, so it goes off the list that we watch, but yet we're really spending, you know, $3 million a biennium maintaining and changing the system that we declared done. And so at some point, you know, it could fall behind, and we, you know, there's no oversight in terms of that cost and expenses. And so I think that's the kind of feedback that we need to have for to do just what Representative Lowe said, to understand what are the discussions we need to be pushing back on the Fed, the federal delegation, saying, listen, you know, we appreciate the mission, we're going to go and accomplish the mission, but you need to understand these are expensive projects, and if you keep changing it and essentially micromanaging down through the process, I mean, if they're making requirements down on the network level, you know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. So that's my editorial opinion for the day. So, but we are past the 5 o'clock. I appreciate the members hanging in here. We will move this out on Monday. We didn't even get to the other components.
Still waiting to hear the answer to my question.
But I don't want to hear it tonight.
Mr. Chair, we did give you written materials on the other elements, including the priorities and determined within the legal slides. And so
members will review that, and we will ask questions on Monday as we are efficient to pass on the recommendations. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on Hospital